Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Roger, roll.
Yes, my dear friends, welcome. This is Maarten Horst speaking on ET First Contact Radio, running on BBS Radio Station 1. As you all know, we are all connected, and I do have a very special guest today. Her name is Joanna Ross Perez, and she has an amazing way to connect with all the universal energies that are floating around in the cosmos, and she's connecting to higher universal beings, higher dimensional beings. She has a beautiful website, Universal Unity, and she has a couple of books written about the fifth dimensional consciousness. And I'm just grateful that she is here with us. And without further ado, Joanna, I want to really heartfully welcome you to the program. So welcome, Joanna.
Thank you and blessings. Thank you. Nice to be here. I love the introduction.
Well, it was the introduction from my heart because the download for the intro was expired. But nevertheless, I think a heartfelt introduction is deeper than something that I read from your words. So just by doing it this way, I would like you to introduce yourself by telling how your awakening started and how that you came to know about higher dimensional consciousness and how your books came to your being and to the world and to humankind. And so please tell us what happened to you and how did you come to be such a wonderful light worker in the community of starseeds and awakened people?
That's wonderful. Since I was a child, there was always, I always felt the difference. And when we were out with other children in family situations, there was situations where I could predict the potentials of what would occur. So if there was phone calls, then I could predict before they occurred and what the phone calls would be about. And, you know, complex family situations, if you will, that, you know, a child at that age wouldn't necessarily understand. So there was things like that that would happen and synchronicities that would occur that I would have energetic intuitiveness about. And back in those days, I was born in 69, so intuitive and psychic abilities were not really discussed. And to understand why I felt exhausted when I came home from a room of people, I would really feel the empathic energy. I would go into a room and I could sense, you know, the energy of all those people that are within the room and the stories that would, you know, how things would be predicted to me out of the words that were spoken, as opposed to the energy that I felt, were sometimes quite different and quite at odds. So I walked around through most of my life quite lonely and feeling a bit separate. And I guess when I was about my second child, about 9 years ago is when the awakening really occurred, even though I knew that I had lucky hunches, I guess I would call it, because I wasn't really that tuned into psychic abilities at that point. I always known that I was quite lucky or synchronistic, or I could tell when things would occur. But it wasn't until my daughter was born about 9 years ago that some really disturbing dreams had started coming to the forefront. And these dreams I could not explain. I was very, I considered myself to be well educated, fairly grounded. I was a businesswoman. And I just couldn't understand why, you know, the darkness of these dreams would kind of, it literally haunt me. It was to the point where I wouldn't want to go to sleep at night. So because I had two young children at home, I really needed to obviously be there emotionally and physically for them. So through my husband's employee assistance program, I was referred to a counselor. And it was about a month until I was able to see her, and such a lovely counselor. And I was very, very sure that I wouldn't want to go on medication or anything. So I said I really wanted to do everything I could to move through this without any drugs or medication. So she suggested some meditative practices for me to allow the understory of what the darkness was all about and why these themes were coming to the forefront. And so in this whole entire process, it allowed me, you know, some sort of hope, because when you've kind of hit the bottom, the hope is the window that opens the lens to allow you to see just a little bit. And if there's a little bit of hope, then we tend to kind of hang in there and say, okay, I'm willing to put this in. I had babies at home. So I tried these meditative practices, and within about a month, I had a profound life-altering meditation experience with one of my guides, and I call her my music guide. She's no longer a guide for me right now, although she is in my energetic team, but I have other guides that have transferred and moved on and changed because of my accelerated pathwork that I'm doing. So this meditation experience was quite profound, and I was brought to tears, and I had the Merkaba spinning in all directions. I felt as if I was levitating, and there was a definite communication going back and forth between me and this other being. And I was, you know, calling out to God, you know, why are these things happening to me, and why such darkness and disturbing things are, you know, kind of tormenting my life. So, you know, she assured me that there was much hope and much love to be experienced, and that there was much love for me, you know, on the side that I couldn't quite see behind the veil. So it was so life-altering that after I came out of that meditation, I was soaked in my tears and my perspiration, that it was anything that I could do to, you know, read anything about metaphysical and esoterics. And, you know, there wasn't a lot out there. And I would spend hours and hours and hours on the internet searching for all of the symptoms and all of these things that I was moving through. And there wasn't a lot out there. So I decided after about 8 or 9 years to create a website that was multidimensional, in that anyone can kind of go to one landing pad, if you will, and move through the various symptoms and the various stages that ascension moves us through, because it's not just humanity that's moving through this ascension. Gaia is moving through the ascension for us. So it affects us in many, many ways. And it's nice to have so many people awakening and offering their spiritual and light gifts, so that there's a porthole for everybody now to tap into. So it's really, really wonderful that, you know, the information is at least there now, you know, whereas 9 years ago it was, you know, you'd spend your entire day searching in different avenues, but it wasn't really pulled together into one.
Right. So this whole experience that happened similar, I had similar experiences, Joanna, happening in my life, where I had to go through deep trouble and deep emotional clearing. And it has lifted my consciousness. It has deepened my understanding of life in the universe.
Yes.
And of human emotion.
Yes, I've written in my book, and my book, Fifth Dimensional Consciousness, kind of takes you through the ascension path, because there is no real playbook on ascension, and whether one believes that one is ascending or not is not the question. There is various physical symptoms, because our physical density is changing. As the acceleration of the planet speeds up, so too do the physical vessels that are upon it. If you are on the path of enlightenment, and if you've chosen to be on the path of enlightenment, then your body will accelerate along with Gaia. And if we're moving through the various belief systems, our old conditioning, how we define our life to be, all of these things that we've been conditioned to, not just in this lifetime, but every other lifetime that's living a parallel reality right now, we must go through certain cleanses, and it's natural that these things come up, and I call them triggers. Ascension triggers that allow you to, if one is awake and aware, or if one is desiring to seek within, go within, and understand why these are coming to the forefront, because your higher self will never, ever give you anything that you can't move through and that you can't handle. So we know that we have a benevolent, multidimensional team. Not only do we have our higher self, which is the gatekeeper of anything that moves through our life that's energetic, but we also have our greater soul, and then we have the Oversoul family. The Oversoul family is linked with our soul family, and those are the people that are coming in and out of our life for specific reasons, where we have to learn certain things from them, or we are teaching things to them. And these are all by contract when we are in the pre-life planning stage and we're planning out what are we going to work on in this lifetime. And we pull in certain people, and we pull in certain celestial guides. We pull in certain spirit guides, and we pull in certain archangels that assist us on our path. And all of this is very divinely orchestrated so that we can move as one quantum organic family, because we are. You're a quantum organic perspective of me, and I am you. So we are each and unto itself, our own universe, and we're all creating these various perspectives for us to allow another point of view to who we truly are as God essence, source essence.
You know, that for me is really the most beautiful truth as how reality is, because we are multidimensional, and the Mayans say, in Lakesh, I am another you. So we are all resonating and communicating on different vibrations and levels of frequencies. And as a teacher of me, David Boyle, explained, everything that exists is light and sound and frequency.
Yes.
In different modalities and different frequencies and different universes.
Mm-hmm.
And even the physical reality where we live in consists of vibrations of sound and light.
Yes.
And atoms exist, the most part of atoms exist of empty space.
Mm-hmm.
And the particles that are inside an atom are just vibrations and possibilities of vibrations that pop in and out of this reality.
Yes. Yes, and it's so, what we're learning now is we're learning that a lot of people that are attracted to my work have been, you know, on the ascension path, and they understand energy to a really great degree now, which is wonderful. So we're understanding that we're not as solid as we thought. Our reality is not as solid as we thought. It's quite malleable. It's quite fluid. And if we understand the elegance of multidimensional energy, and this is what I just get so passionate to teach, is because in the first contact symposiums that we're now taking on the road, we usually plan it so that there's a couple hours break after the 4-hour symposium, and then people come back to my hotel room at nighttime, and we light ship gaze. And for many people that have seen light ships for the first time, they've often said, you know, it's not as kind of blatant and out there as we thought. It's really quite an elegant dance of energy. And it's about the offerings of one level of multidimensional beings to another. And it's quite beautiful, and it's quite elegant, and it's not... It's just another aspect of our understanding and awareness and readiness to allow ourselves to expand into our own cosmic skin, really.
Yes, indeed. And Joanna, can you explain what the role of the light ships is, and what the role was around 2010, 2012, 2013, and how the role has shifted into the time we are in now? And how this will unfold in the ascension process, and what we can expect from the light that is now taking over the more important roles on this planet where we live on.
Yes.
And how this will transform all of us into the new reality that is promised to us by the star people.
Yes, and I think this is the topic that's most, if you do any research on the internet, everybody has a different opinion, and that's wonderful. My interpretation of what is going on, being an intuitive visionary, I can sense things on a collective level, and considering being that I have energetic implants and my celestial team can tap into the information that I sense and see and am downloaded, they download information to me and I download information to them. And we can feed this information back and forth so that whatever I do upon this planet Earth to allow the ambassadorialship of what I do, the introduction of New Earth energy, the introduction of New Earth humanity, all of these things that I'm the ambassador for, is being fed right back to my team instantaneously. So they're in touch and they're here listening with this phone call and their energy is embedded within my quantum bandwidth, if you will. And so this information back and forth is always there. In 2010 and in 2012, there was some really powerful changes in that was still undecided at that time whether humanity was actually going to move forward because of the challenge in energy. There was still a lot of darkness, and there was light workers that were, you know, doing everything in their power to do what they do, and it was still quite questionable. But 2012 was the decision point where there was enough of us to move forward in a very profound way. As soon as 2012 kind of hit and we moved the marker on that, Gaia's ascension plan has really been under the table since about 1987, you know, even farther back to 1947 when we had the first landings from Roswell, and that was, you know, kind of a government, comic play from there. But there's been many, many times where our cosmic family has reached out to us, and it's been, you know, one thing or another. And I never go into those areas because that's not my energy. My energy is to be the ambassador of new energy. And from 2012, it really changed because there was enough people that turned on the light. And as we know, that positive, loving energy is far more profound than any one negative person can change or alter. And so that really propelled Earth and humanity in a new way. We are now moving so fast, and I've really sensed a huge change within the last 6 months. So the last 6 months, in particular, the last 2 months, I felt it to be a really clean slate. It's very light upon this planet right now. Not so much that we've seen in the last, you know, 5 years, even 2 years. And how I like to describe it, and if everybody can get on their visual caps, if they will, and visualize each one of you as individuals, a spiral bandwidth that's kind of in the shape of a pyramid, if you will, and it goes from the bottom up, spiraling up. Can be whatever direction you want, really. And I call this the individual bandwidth, the energetic bandwidth of each of us, of who we are. It includes the conditionings, it includes our beliefs, our definitions, who we think we are, what our beliefs are about our universe, about our planet, about our existence, about what our theme is, our blueprint. And in this bandwidth, the more we expand and aware who we are, the more we awaken to the possibilities of what's out there, our bandwidth stretches and it gets wider. And it adds more threads. I call it threads of the cosmos. And these are golden, like godlike threads. And as we expand those threads, we can move in any number of directions. We can move right now as we so have it. We have various beings upon our planetary bandwidth, if you will, that are resonating between a third and a fifth dimensional frequency. So we have two really full range frequencies available to us upon this planet at this very moment. There are even some beings on our planet that tap into even the sixth dimensional frequency. So we still have this ability to float back and forth. We all have those experiences where some days we just feel quite negative and we get pulled back into old conditions and old beliefs. That's a third vibration. Or we're with a group of people who, you know, might have been old friends or things like that, the people that we used to resonate with, and we find that we're pulled back into a direction or an energy that it doesn't really fit us now. And these times are really paramount for us because they allow us the opportunity to decide really where we choose to fit. What grain within this bandwidth do I choose to fit in? And that's why these next 2 years up until 2017 is really profound. Back in 2012, I knew that 2017 was a profound year. I had no idea why, but I just felt 2017 was a big year. This is the year where there's going to be less and less ability for people to reach back into that third dimensional frequency. And then there will be a point where the two Earths, if we talk about two, although there's an infinite number of Earths, if you will, but we're talking about the third dimensional frequency and the fifth dimensional frequency. And so there will be a point in time where these two frequencies split off and shift so that there will be no longer for those fifth dimensional frequency beings like the light workers and those people that have been working on their path work for many, many years, who choose to live every moment in love and every moment in lighted heartness with compassion and loving kindness. so that we're not going to have that toggling back and forth like we do between now and the next 2 years. So this is why it's really important, and I know that I've said this many, many times, is that there's going to be a huge mass awakening between now and the next 18 months. So we're going to see it everywhere, and this is talked about in my book. The subtleties that humanity shows each other and one another and who we are as individuals, how fast we're changing. You can see it in the TV program, and you can see it in people are buying, you know, people aren't buying newspapers anymore. They're all of those things that are negative and controlled from certain aspects of our society. There's less and less of it. And the light is truly taking over in profound ways. They're going to have much more positive and empowering programming. More platforms, multidimensional platforms like this one, like the radio shows, and it's really going to be inspiring to allow everyone to tap into whatever level of bandwidth they're at based on their conditioning and the pathwork that they're doing, to allow them to really expand in multidimensional ways so that you can toggle in a fifth dimensional frequency from now on. And if you choose to, I rarely talk about the third dimensional frequency. My vibration is all fifth and sixth. So if you truly decide to embrace and allow yourself to be in that bandwidth, that will be all you will experience, because you initially create your entire universe. So it's really quite profound between, you know, what's going to happen in the next couple of years, and there's going to be a really big mass awakening to people that you didn't even think would have been, you know, interested in the stuff that we teach or that you talk about. But there will be, you know, great awakenings in every area, whether it's medicine, scientific discovery, whether it's programming, social networking, it doesn't matter. Every aspect of our world will be altered by this.
Well, that's exactly what I feel, Joanna. And I experience this already happening now. As you said, the last 2 months, you know, the media is changing. The programming, indeed, on the television is becoming more positive.
Yeah.
Topics that were not discussed on the mainstream media 5 years ago are now being put into public. And even extraterrestrial life is taken more seriously by people that walk by in the street or even on the mainstream programming. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is create a mainstream television channel in the Netherlands. Or a radio channel with some other people that will be on the mainstream, that will be received by everybody.
Yeah.
But maybe it will be an idea for all light workers to do that in other countries as well, so that we can work with the mainstream media and have a channel on the mainstream television where all the videos from David Wilcock, Benjamin Fulford, and all the others can become mainstream knowledge, because this awakening, it's not only influencing the light workers now, as it was in the last 30, 40, 5, 50 years, but it's now also working in the energies, as you said, from people that you wouldn't expect to awaken. And those people are also working in mainstream media stations.
Yes.
And also, people in the mainstream media are discovering that negative programming and negative messages, with this information, they won't sell any newspapers. They won't have viewers on their CNN, for example. If it's only about ISIS, nobody will look at it. It's only about terrorism. People are fed up with this. People want to hear a positive message. People want to hear enlightening messages with positivity and growth and development.
Yeah.
Because humanity is evolving now from greed and egoism to cooperation and loving kindness and this is the new world. This is the golden age. It's already started,
because
I can see on the street that people are smiling at each other, because of these incoming energies from the ships and from the stars, people are happier, and you can feel this everywhere.
Yes, and it's going to. We'll continue to have the physical symptoms of ascension, and it's our sight and our ears and the ringing in our ears and the various things that are altered as the chakra system opens up and speeds up. Because remember, as we enlighten, we actually lighten up in our physical density. Our cells speed up in oscillation. Things will speed up in a myriad of ways, and we feel like our skin is vibrating. The cells within our body are vibrating depending on how how committed you are to your path work. So like I said, there's nothing that will be left untouched because it's a benevolent system that goes far beyond anything that we've ever known. There's so many benevolent councils out there that are under the auspices of Source. And this, there's so many councils that are assisting humanity in so many different ways, whether they're taking samples from the volcano eruptions, whether they're taking samples from our water, our soil, all of these things that we've seen kind of play out on the media as, you know, kind of negative foreplay that they talk about. They're really taking temperature checks of where we're at. And that's why various people like myself and a lot of other beings along the planet in very, you know, specific locations, there's certain types of information that's being fed back and forth as, you know, temperature checks for everybody. Where's humanity at on the social level? Where's humanity at on the scientific level? Where's humanity at? How far along are we coming? Are we really taking these changes that Gaia has allowed us to see? She's been, we've imbalanced her to such a profound degree that we can no longer do what we're doing to her without waking up before it destroys us. So we really, and I mean it, I mean the collective, because we really need to wake up to what we're doing to Gaia. And that's why this last couple of years has been so profound, because there's been a real alignment to rebalance her, to bring her back to a state of homeostasis, so that every thought and every word and everything that we emit from our body goes somewhere in the cosmos. It doesn't stop and disappear. This is why energy is so alive and quantum energy is so alive, and why I get so impassioned about teaching this is because we're so profound in the ability to be the driver now. Every thought and every word and every deed, every time we step a footprint upon Gaia, she imprints it and it is kept within the Akash. We're felt in such profound ways by everything within our reality. And it's now people are awakening to the fact that they're understanding it, they're getting it, and they want to entangle more deeply with Gaia. They want to entangle more deeply with humanity and have an intimate relationship with those around us, so that we're not having such great degree of poverty, or we're not having such great degree of violence. We can reach out and truly know that as I look at you, you're a version of me from a different vibrational perspective. And we can send love to that version of us, and we can send compassion. Whether it's something dark and disturbing that we see, it's still an aspect of who we are. And as we learn to heal and send self-love and know that we're Source Essence, then we begin to change the reality, and we begin to create the atmosphere and the biosphere for New Earth. So that's truly how we unify as one, as universal alchemists, and we change what we do in every moment, and we create something from nothing, because it comes from the Source Essence from within.
Yes, indeed. And the time we are living in, Joanna, is so beautiful. And I can see, I'm about to ask you, what is the role of our sun? Because there's something with the sunlight I can see. Mm-hmm. That is doing something to the waters. I have the feeling that the seas, the oceans are cleaning up. The water is becoming cleaner. And for some reason, the last couple of months, water has a very important role in my life. I like to swim in the sea. I like to take a shower. I like to drink water. Mm-hmm. And what is the role of water in the expansion of our consciousness?
Well, water is the collective cleanse. It's been the substance that we've used for since the beginning of humanity for a cleansing agent. And water is the essence of life force. Not only is it our life force, but it's also been the one that holds the cetaceans. The cetaceans are profound healers. They're profound data keepers. They're profound information keepers for humanity. Our central sun, the soul, it's an information transmitter. So directly from source itself, from what I feel and what I intuit, is information is sent to central sun by various committees, various councils, directly from source, directly from God, Mother God. That information is sent to the sun, and it is then sent down to us in energetic streams. It is especially more powerful, and we know this because people feel it, even people that don't necessarily believe in ascension or any of the esoteric wisdom that we're talking about, is that when full moons and solstices and equinoxes align, or the blue moons, when you have two full moons in a month, there's an intensity, and there's always a divine orchestration, and there's always design behind it all. And this is where we're feeling the intensity of the sun is not necessarily that it's getting stronger. It's just that it's more purified and refined energy. And this is what we've failed to understand, is because it's just saying, oh, the sun is getting stronger. It's all of these negative things. And of course, people, first thing they do is put negativity behind it. But it's just that it's more refined source energy. It's more refined data information that the human that's accelerating, I call it the illuminated galactic human. As we ascend and as we become more denser, the cells within our bodies require more refined energy and more data, more energy, refined data information, if you will. All of the data that we get comes from Gaia through the grids, through her loving nature, through her wildlife. We are an element of Source. We are an element of Gaia. We are a part of our planet. We are made of the elements of Gaia, and we're made of the elements of Source. Therefore, being quantum, we understand this at an energetic level, even though there may be people that would appear to think otherwise. But our bodies react to our planet, and our planet reacts to us. This is why if there's a mass amount of people upon our planet that are negative and hateful in their inner dialogue, in whatever it may be that they walk through their life with, the energy must go somewhere. The energy must be balanced out, because energy always requires to be balanced. It always needs to move and be fluid. And if there is a blockage in that energy, regardless of how it is, then illness starts to occur. And whether that's through eruptions, whether that's through tidal ocean waves, anything like that, the energy that's in the planet that we feed her, as well as what we're putting out there in the cosmos etherically with our thoughts, then there has to be a leveling out. And this is why the change that has occurred in the last couple of years, more so in the last, as far as I know, in the last 8 months, have been truly profound. We've made a change that's been so profound. We've accelerated in ways that weren't even not even thought possible. And the ripples are felt through the farthest, you know, corners of our cosmos. And this is really, truly, you know, wonderful that we can alter our thoughts in every day. And there's going to be a point where most people wake up and say, I just don't want to be like this anymore. I just want to be positive. I want to be intimate. I want to have a meaningful life and a fulfilling life. I want to know that the people I talk to know that I matter and I matter to them, and we have heartfelt conversations and the wonderful intimacy with Gaia, and we feel like we're really fluid with her and we love her and she loves us. So the same with the wildlife. The more we are entangled with the life around us, then the more easily it will be and more fluid it will be, and the more quicker that it will happen that we become cosmic beings, that we allow first conscious contact to occur where first landings happen and so on. Because we still have to understand, and we still have to master this earthly ride. We can't just jump off into the cosmos because we think it might be easier or better. We still have to master these human elements that we've come here to master. That's why we chose this earthly life.
Yes, that's totally true. We have to master our consciousness and our behavior, especially, I think. Because if we can care about our planet and about each other, then we can travel the cosmos. Now, Joanna, I would like to ask you if you can speak a little bit about your book and about your website and how people can find the information from your book if they want to read more and know more information about all the things that you're talking about now.
Well, I get so excited about everything. So, when I was about 5 years old, I had my first, what I remember, my ET contact. And I talk about it in my book about how memories and visions and triggers, as you're going through your ascension pathwork and you're opening up to more of who you are as source essence, that pretty much what awakening is or what ascension work is you're becoming more in tune and in touch with and in more fluid with your source self. You're allowing your source self to come to the forefront and shine and be who you are authentically. So as you awaken, all of these memories and visions and impressions, they can come to you in any point in time. They can come to you in meditative states or dream time. They like to come to us in dream time, reawaken what we've already done and what we've already, you know, moved through. Many of these things are visitation experiences. And so when we have dreams that just feel so real or they feel so tangible that it just necessarily can't be a dream, and our teams do this to us sometimes. They can cloak themselves in a myriad of different forms to allow us that comfort level, that familiarity, so that we're not kind of freaked out by what we see in the dreams. And so many of these things have happened to me, you know, quite often, and I wasn't able to understand it or explain it until I started my path work. So my first visitation occurred when I was about 5 years old, but it didn't come to the forefront until I had my awakening after my daughter was born. I had awoken one night and I thought, well, that's weird. Why would I remember the beings from, I don't know if anybody remembers, but there was an old country entertainment show on TV and it was called Hee Haw. And all of these entertainers would go on a Sunday night. And my family and I were watching that entertainment show when I was five. And the two beings that were on Hee Haw, they had overalls on and their pitchforks and so on. It was quite funny. My celestial team has quite a sense of humor. So the doorbell rang and I went down to the doorbell to answer who was there. And there was the two beings from Hee Haw. They were in their overalls and their pitchfork and everything. And as a five-year-old, I was quite amused. I was like, oh, wow, those are the movie stars that were just on the TV there. And so, but I didn't necessarily remember any of this because it was blocked from my memory until I was ready to come to grips with who I am as a multidimensional being, what my role here is, what my theme is that I chose to sign on for. And it's a lot of it is I have a lot of other lifetimes in other EET realms like we all do. We're all other aspects of ET star systems. And so they took me aboard the ship and they altered some of my empathic abilities because I was so overly empathic that it wouldn't have been a very good story ending if it would have continued without being adjusted. So my heart chakra area was adjusted and my empathic skills were adjusted so that I wouldn't walk around kind of reading every person that crossed my path, especially at 5 years old as I was entering kindergarten, where you know there's 30 kids in one class and there's 500 kids in a school. So it would have been, you know, quite detrimental to me if I had been at the state that I was. So they did some adjustments on me aboard the ship. And there's been many other examples where, you know, my team takes me aboard the ship and I go up in higher conscious states to adjust and move my energy and work with my energy in different ways. So the more that I work with them on a higher conscious level, and the more that intent and excitement that I have, the more they're working with me, and the more, energetic therapy things that we do, and they work on my sight and my chakra systems and all of those things that they're helping me along, because it's my intent to do as much as I can for humanity and to allow humanity an open idea and concept of potential. Humanity has never really known what our potentials are, and we all have these potentials to have, you know, higher multidimensional communications with our teams and our spirit guides and our higher self. We always have to be in tune and in line with our higher self first. And as we do this, so this is all outlined in my book about the various things that come to the forefront as you're moving through your own awakening. And to know that these dreams and these meditations are triggers to allow you to, again, go within and start dialogue with your team, start dialogue with your higher self, start dialogue with Gaia. There's information held everywhere for us, and it has done so for us to ascend and be entangled in this way. We wouldn't have been just plopped on a planet if there was not the environment to hold us and to support us and to gift us with the information and data that we need to ascend. And it's quite beautiful that there's so many people that are awakening to the elements that are all around us all the time. And as we do so, we then open up to the higher aspects of communication with other beings. So this essentially is what my book is about. It talks about my ascension process, because there is no real playbook on ascension. And it talks about the experiences that I had as a child and with my ET beings and with my ET friends and my celestial team. I call them my celestial team because we all have them. We have teams for healing. We have teams for creative play. Whatever it is that we choose to tap into, we have teams to assist us. And so I also give hints and tips for assisting with multidimensional enhancing of communication. And we do classes and we do events. I have the first contact symposium that I'm now taking on the road. We had our first event here in Calgary in June. And we went into it with the intention of really just swimming in fifth dimensional energy. And the four-hour event was really profound. Everybody that had come in the room had felt the energy difference. There was the definite energy, and our teams were all there supporting and really being the ancillary aspect of the event. And then the next morning, we had light ship gazing that night, and there was quite a few people that saw light ships, and we saw them dangling and gazing outside of our hotel room. And then the next morning, I felt a definite shift in you know, in energy upon the collective, whether there was anything specific or not. But when a group of that intention gets together, things ripple and things move. So we're hoping to take the first contact symposium on the road for anybody that wants to, you know, gather up a whole group of people and have me bring the first contact symposium with the overheads and the discussion. And we do light ship gazing and so on. So it's really, really collecting as groups again, like we used to in the ancient times, where the various tribes would gather and they would talk and they would exchange information and they would enhance from generation to generation. And this is where we're moving back to. This is where humanity is getting back into the sharing of information between one another. And the internet has helped us do that. It's helped us, you know, collectively, you know, align information so that we can expand who we are.
Joanna, I have the feeling that the future is bright and that everybody is becoming more loving. And I must say that I'm touched by your story. And yes, I must also agree that when a group of like-minded people come together in a higher vibration, then we attract those star beings, and there are sightings, really beautiful sightings. Now, I just want to ask you, what is going to happen with the sightings?
Yes.
They are already increasing, but what can we expect? Because everybody is talking about September this year. What is your take on September with concerning the energies and events that will unfold?
Well, we do know that July 26th was a very important day, and it was the cosmic new year for Gaia. So between now and the fall solstice, which is September 23rd, 24th, depending on where you are on the planet, the solstices are, and equinoxes are always very important. They always have been and they always will be. We are a planet swimming in a galaxy of other planets, and every single planet has its own blueprint, has its own soul theme about why they've been placed where they've been placed and what their role is. And there's life and consciousness on all planets within all of creation. And so it's no different for Gaia. And as we align with the planets and as we align with the fall and spring equinoxes, just as the ancients of any culture celebrated, there's always a huge energy shift. And these energy shifts are for the creation of Gaia's new soul, of Gaia's new heart, if you will. And that's created within the thoughts and the words and the actions and the footprints that we take. It's not something that we have to wait for and have some higher being come and fix it for us. It's about the independent engagement and commitment to truly walk the walk every moment and talk the talk every moment, because it's the inner dialogue. It's the things that we say, do, and feel, and it's how we emit ourselves that creates the atmosphere and the biosphere for Gaia, and it allows us to truly shift like we've never shifted before. And these shifts will occur within the next, you know, there's a really profound from the summer solstice up to the fall solstice. And of course, we will see more large number sightings as far as the number of people that will see them. We're already seeing things come out with the pictures that were taken on Pluto. And there's no accident that there was a heart-shaped cluster found upon Pluto. There's no accident in these things in these ways. So the cosmos is reaching out for us in a very loving way, and they always have. And now we're ready to accept and open and say, wow, I wonder what that means. And at least we're asking questions and we're allowing ourselves to be open to the potential that the more we work on who we are, the more we allow ourselves to be in full loving vibration of who we are and embracing of who we are as individuals, we then open it up for conscious first contact, because most of us have had first contact. When we go into dream time, we are playing in other realms, vibrational realms. We're working at the template reality where we're working things out in the different decisions we want to make in our lives and what may come about from those decisions at the template level. We also go on to ships and we're working in other roles, in other forms. So we're already doing it. Our physical and our higher self are only allowing us so much information until we're ready. And when we work on ourselves and when we work on the ascension awakening that we do within our everyday life, it opens up slowly but surely. And as I said earlier, the bandwidth stretches and it allows more memories to come to the forefront. And then you get these really quick visions that you know, kind of whip across your mind, your third eye area, or it could be in a dream, or even when you're driving, when you're in a relaxed state, and you have these things come to the forefront, and you think, well, that's weird. I don't remember that before. So, you know, like the experience of my first lightship experience, I had never remembered that my whole life. I mean, I think it was I was about 39 when I remembered. And I thought it was really strange because I remember everything. I had a very good memory. I would remember things that people said to me 8 years ago. But there was this one profound memory, just it wasn't given to me. And why would I remember it all of a sudden now? And it was quite a different and profound memory. Like, why would movie stars come to my front door? But they come to us in these ways for us to remember and question. And I have a scar on my chest right above my heart that the dermatologists haven't been able to come to agreement as to what it is. And for years, I've always known in my heart that, you know, it was left for me on purpose so that I would have the intelligence and the compassion. And I was ready at the point where I wouldn't discard it. I wouldn't laugh it off or, you know, shrug it away as coincidence, because many, many times I did. You know, many times I shrugged these visions and impressions that would just float in my mind for no reason. I would shrug them off because it couldn't be explained by anyone. It couldn't be, you know, these things that I was experiencing were quite, you know, alien. You know, and that's where I'm out there now to say, you know, it's all normal. It's a part of the awakening process. Humanity is evolving, and we're going to remember as our bandwidth gets bigger. We're going to remember the other planets that we're working on, the other star systems we're working on, the other, you know, craft that we're moving in. And it's all a way for humanity to evolve into a whole new level of accelerated beingness. And that's why, you know, I wrote the book. I wrote the book because it was a big step for me to go from who I was to who I truly wanted to be. And it was a play-by-play so that others who were going through strange anomalies, you know, kind of alien anomalies, could feel comforted in knowing that we're evolving and it's normal and it's not, you know, it's not wrong or bad or whatever someone might feel for these things that are, you know, most people just, you know, don't want to talk about. But there's enough awakening now that it's okay to talk about it. And you have this beautiful radio station where, you know, people like me can come forward with a ton of information about anything, because the cells within us are awakening to information that we've always had, because our Akasha is changing and our Akasha is becoming more fluid, where we can tap into the information we've had from other realms. And we can start creating new inventions and ecological systems that we can no longer hurt our planet and create healthy food and so on and so forth.
You know, what you just said makes me so happy, Joanna. And I feel that everything is shifting, and everything is not just shifting, like things are becoming more intense, but I think everything that's happening around us with the animals, with the plants, with the planet Gaia, with humanity, everything is becoming more refined, and also relationships are becoming more refined.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what I also see is that people come easier to find peace and find solutions for conflict. And I think that within a certain amount of time, conflicts will not exist anymore.
Yes, and because as each person awakens to a deeper part of who they are, they're going to understand that every person they see within their reality, even on the peripheral, is a part of who they are. We've manifested every single experience within our reality in every moment, in every day, in every year. We've manifested and we've created every single experience so that we can choose to look at ourselves and our situation and the wholeness of who we are in new light, and allow us to expand to a greater level and gain greater compassion, gain greater love for who we are, gain greater experience, gain greater intimacy. And we've missed intimacy for so long. We've been so disengaged from Gaia. We've been so disengaged from humanity. And we're really moving in really wonderful ways. And it's really switching to the opposite really quickly, because we're understanding that it's all us. It's all a version of who we are. So if we know that, if we walk through life, then we're not necessarily going to send fearful judgment or hateful judgment or all of these things that we emit through our thoughts, we are going to truly give compassionate and kind love because it's who we are. It is us. I am you and you are me. And it's at the bottom of who we are. And for us to ascend in any way, that's the primal essence that we're awakening to, that even our ET friends and our alien friends and our celestial friends and source, it's all just another aspect of who we are at various levels of frequency.
That is so true, Joanna. Now, before we close off, can you please share all the details you want to share about how people can reach you, what your website is, and where people can find your books?
Yeah, the website, I created it, I think, 2 years ago on my birthday. So it's universalunity.ca, Universal Unity, all one word, and it's .ca. And there's various YouTubes that are also posted on the website. There's a really lovely person that creates my articles in a YouTube format for those that are various levels of, you know, degrees of ascension and inspiring to seek within and go deeper within what we're all doing here and why. And that platform offers many things. And again, I said the First Contact Symposium truly is my passion. I love to be with humanity and to travel and speak to humanity. And I really get engaged and we work on energetic patterns, even though we don't even know we're doing it. But energy within the room is altered and changed. So it's really intense because it's kind of like an ascension masterclass. And we go into visitation. What does it look like? First landings, what does it look like? We go into all aspects of ascension and planetary ascension, and we wrap it up with a lightship gazing that evening. And so that's truly my passion. And then my book will be coming out on the 0808, the Lionsgate porthole, which is a very important day for ascension workers and light workers and star seeds. So it's August 8th is another porthole where information will be streamed to us from the various councils and benevolent systems around our planet, to allow humanity even further to tap into the heart essence of who we are as an ascending humanity. We're working from the Diamond Heart Codes, which means that we're really tapping into feeling unconditional love and altering who we are and altering our reality from the heart center, from unconditional loving status and state. Healings will be coming forward because when people move forward, they have to release old and negative energy. And so this porthole is really important and all the way up to the fall solstice as well. So I usually have events locally for meditation and we do lightship gazing and we do activations and things like that. We just really love to play with Gaia and energy. So I do events like that. And so if anybody wants to get in touch with me if they want to get together a group of people, usually 20 or more, because I have to travel to put the event on. So but that's the First Contact Symposium. And then my book is called Fifth Dimensional Consciousness, which we go into everything about human ascension, planetary ascension, first contact, visitation, and all of that. So it goes into, you know, some of my personal experiences that haven't been shared before.